Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Adam been to the river, swam up the stream, stood on the mountaintop, I swear and lean. Like Martin Luther said, girl, I had a dream, but I'll never stop loving you.
Angela Butler. Tonight, the Angela Butler Show is dedicated to changing lives and educating people through knowledge, intellect, and education. Here at Show Talk with Angela Butler, we make a difference. Tonight, we have with us Calvin Richardson. Calvin Richardson is a guest tonight on Show Talk with Angela Butler. He is a two-time Grammy nominee. How are you doing, Calvin?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, great. Good to hear your voice.
Absolutely, same here.
Okay, the title Soul Prince, you definitely wear it well. Your CD, America's Most Wanted, has really brought you into your own. What inspired the album, America's Most Wanted?
I mean, honestly, life inspires every song that I write. So, you know, it's after doing the Bobby Womack tribute album the year prior to that, you know, I want to, you know, kind of stay in line with that as far as, you know, the instrumentation and all that stuff, you know, going in the studio with a live band and cutting it that way. But other than that, like the inspiration for the songs, like I said, it's just life and living.
Okay. There was anything in particular that inspired the song Adore You?
In particular, well, you know, that particular song was inspired by my daughter, you know, Mary was just hanging out one night, and I was in the studio. We wasn't really hanging out. I was in the studio working, and she was there, you know, and I have a studio in my house, and, you know, she just came in, and, you know, that her presence just, you know, took over the room, and, you know, I really adore my daughter. I love my kids, and so, you know, this song just came out, you know, just being creative, and, you know, that's how that happened.
All right. How would you define soul music? What is the meaning to you?
Well, soul music is something that comes deep from within, you know, you know, touching your innermost emotions and, you know, putting it in words and, you know, being able to perform that. And, you know, because my mother always told me what comes from the heart always goes to the heart. It'll reach the heart of other people that's listening to it. So for me, soul music has to come from that place, you know, like I said, the sincere, your innermost, and, you know, and be able to connect with people.
Okay. How is America Most Wanted different from your other albums?
I can't really say that it's that different from all my other albums, but, you know, it's just a different album, I should say. You know, it's just a different time in my life, and, you know, America's Most Wanted, coming from, you know, after being nominated for 2 Grammys off of the Bobby Womack CD, you know, kind of, you know, gave me a different perspective, reality as far as my artistry. And so I was eager to get back in the studio, and that was somewhere, I used that somewhat as fuel, I'm sure, but, you know, it's the same in the sense that it's, you know, it's still me, you know, it means me expressing how I feel at that particular time, you know, creatively.
Where did you record American Most Wanted? Which state?
I recorded most of it in North Carolina in my studio, and then I went to New York and I recut the vocals, you know, with the band and most of the songs. So.
Okay. When you first start singing, because that's a question I'm sure you've been asked a lot, when did you first start singing?
I think I was singing before I ever knew about it. But, you know, I've always sang. My mother, she was a gospel singer, her and their family and the sisters and brothers, and so I grew up in that. And my dad was a musician, so she started us out, me and my brothers, as a group. There was five of us at that particular time, and, you know, I think I was like four or five, to be honest about it, from the stories that, she told me. Like, I knew I'd always been the lead singer of that group, so... and my brothers was all, you know, years older than me, you know. So I've been singing since, you know, since I began.
Okay. What singers have influenced you the most?
But the most, I think I probably was more or less influenced by gospel singers like Willie Neil Johnson, the gospel keynotes, the violinists, you know, those type of people. A lot of people probably wouldn't know nothing about that old school quartet type sound. But, you know, and then obviously I was influenced by Marvin Gaye, Sam Cooke, Donny Hathaway, Al Green.
Oh, okay.
And to say, obviously, go without saying, Bobby Womack, you know.
Go without saying, okay. Which gospel group did you sing in while in North Carolina?
I sang in a gospel group called the Gospel Tornadoes, the Willing Wonders. I sang with them for a while. And I also sang with Lil Cedric and the Haley Singers, That was, you know who that was, right?
Yes.
You do?
Say that again?
Lil Cedric and the Haley Singers. Well, I know you may know, but for the ones who don't know, if they happen to be listening, that was Cedric and JoJo. You know, that was the gospel group. That was Cedric's gospel group. It was called Lil Cedric and the Haley.
That was one of my... Okay, Haley. Casey and JoJo. Okay, I remember them. I still have some of their music. Yeah, very soulful. I couldn't help but notice the pictures of you and the way you dress and everything. I just have to ask this. Now, I hope you can tell me. Who is your favorite designer?
I don't have a favorite.
You wear some, you don't? You have some nice clothes.
I don't have a favorite designer. Like a lot of stuff, you know, I have a tailor, and I have a lot of stuff made, but William Wilson, he's my tailor, so he makes a lot of my stuff. But I don't necessarily have a favorite designer. Depends on how I feel, you know what I mean? I go in, I can buy some stuff off of it. Just, you know.
It depends on how you feel. You're a snappy dresser. you were mentioning Cedric and Joel Haley. How did you meet them? How did you guys first start out? I mean, Casey and JoJo. Better known as
Casey
and JoJo.
Well, we all from the same place, you know. You know, it was just one big family, really, down there. So, you know, that's pretty much how it all came about, you know. And Cedric and JoJo, they spent a lot of their time on the road. They was living in Baltimore, but they moved back home. They left, and they moved back home. And then, you know, we linked up and, you know, started doing the gospel thing together. You know, I joined their group, and, you know, we just rolled on from there, you know. And then they moved on and went and do the Jodeci thing. And, you know, I was down to do that, but, I was in a situation that I couldn't just walk away from and, you know, and leave. And it required that to just up and leave and go to New York and, you know, go for it. And so, you know, I missed that boat. And maybe it turned out years later that it probably was a good thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you're a Grammy nominee. You're probably going to get a Grammy somewhere in your future. sometime in your future. So, I mean, you're a success. You are a success,
right.
And I just love your soulful voice. I love your music. I love So Amazing.
Thank you.
I really do. The group Undercover was one you formed. Who were
right.
some of the other singers in this group, Undercover? Was it Casey and JoJo?
No, Casey and JoJo had went on. Jodeci was in full effect at that point. And so, you know, when I decided to go to New York some years later, a couple of years later, and, you know, pursue a record deal, it was one of my brothers. One was my brother, and the other two guys were, like, hometown friends, you know.
Okay. Were you thinking of someone special when you sing You're So Amazing?
Of course. I was thinking of someone special, you know. I really was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I read in your bio that you spend a lot of time alone. Are you still looking for that someone special?
You know, I know that there's someone special. I don't know really how to say that. I'm not really looking. I've never been looking, the one to really be looking, you know. And, you know, I just live my life and according to God's plan, you know, as far as he guides my footsteps and whatever comes my way that's supposed to be mine or with me, then, you know, I'm open, you know, put it like that.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break, listeners. I have with me Calvin Richards, the 2-time Grammy nominee. Don't leave the show talk with Angela Butler. Come back to the show. Take a listen to Conglomerate Magazine. CEO Garland McLaughlin.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
All right, that was a commercial by Digital Conglomerate, the owner, Garland McLaughlin. Also, don't forget to check out Exquisite Design. The phone number is 1206-279-1712. Don't forget, leave a message and they will call you back. Also, listeners, don't forget to check out Demetra Stewart's magazine. Don't forget to check her out. Atlanta Ambition, the magazine is currently online, and the February edition is out. That's www.atlantaambition.com. You can go to the website, and if you want to advertise with her or be featured in the magazine, there's a contact information there at www.atlantaambition.com. Also, let's not forget Maurice and Abby Merriweather, Remember Vicellus, and to shop with Maurice and Abby Merriweather. They are more than happy to cater to your weight loss goals. Vicellus is a great product. You may reach Maurice and Abby Merriweather at their website. Also, don't forget to be on the lookout for filmmaker Jawanna Ramsey at the Film Festival. His film, Lost It All, is a religious film, which is based on the Book of Job from the Bible. Okay? Let's go back to the questions with Calvin Richardson. All right, Calvin.
Yes.
Who has influenced you the most? Who has had the most influence on you in your life?
In my life, my mother, without a doubt, she has had the most influence. I grew up in, you know, basically a one-parent home, and my mom, she was mom and dad. So, you know, she instilled a lot of good things. In me, you know, she really influenced me, the way that she lived her life and the way that, you know, she raised 9 children basically on her own.
Okay, she raised 9 children on her own. Your mother, I would say the same thing, too, if I was being asked that question. I would answer that sincerely, too. Who do you sense credit the most for your success?
After God, myself, you know, because, you know, it's obviously, you know, my hard work and dedication and commitment to the craft of soul music and my determination and persevering, you know, just staying in the game, you know, when everybody thought it was going to be over for me or whatever, when the labels walked away and, you know, I still, you know, had it in me, had that drive to just continue to do my thing. And, you know, sooner or later, you know, it started paying off.
I believe that. I believe that. And God is good because you're really a success. And I was looking at your stuff on YouTube and everything, and you're really a dynamite singer. Soul.
Thank you.
You have a lot of soul in you. You are also Show Talk with Angela Butler, first Grammy nominee. I'm glad to have you on the show, too. I'm very glad to have you.
Thank you.
If this is too personal, you don't have to answer it. I noticed you said you loved your children and everything, and that the song, I believe it was Adore.
Adore You, yes.
Adore You. So that means you are a father. How has fatherhood changed you? I mean, being a father, how has that changed your life?
In recent years, like, it really has changed me. Like, my youngest son is 9, and, you know, I really embraced fatherhood when he came along. Before that, you know, I wasn't with the mothers of either one of my other children, right? I have a daughter and a son before him. But I was always active in their lives, you know, as far as, you know, coming around, like, understanding what being a father is really all about, you know? But, like I said, my youngest son came along, and, you know, I was in that relationship at that particular time, and I really embraced it, and I really loved it, and it changed, you know, my outlook on the things that I was doing, the things that I had to do, that I needed to do to really secure not only my future, but, you know, a future, you know, so that he could have a future, where they could have a future, you know, based off of the things that I was doing. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. You're securing the future of your children too, not just yourself. Understand
right.
that. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, I see myself still in the music business. As far as you know, like, I have a business. Numo Records is my company, and I'm looking to bring on other talent. So, you know, that I can help nurture and, you know, guide their careers, so to speak, you know. But I definitely, you know, just want to keep on doing my part as far as keeping real music, soul music, heartfelt music, you know, in the minds and on the hearts of the world, you know. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to, you know, continue to share my thoughts and, you know, my experiences through music with the world.
Okay. All right. What are the things in your life right now, in your life? What are the things you treasure the most right now at this point in your life? What are the things that are most important to you that you treasure?
Okay. Well, my relationship with my mother is, you know, really number one. And, you know, my kids, obviously. The ability that I have been blessed with to continue to be able to still do what I do, and people want to, you know, they embrace it and, you know, want to see more of it. And just living a healthy life, you know, financially, you know, I'm okay, I'm good. You know, I'm living, you know, living my life by no uncertain terms, on my own terms, you know what I mean?
Okay, I know what you mean. Not being controlled.
Not being controlled by the powers that be, other record labels, or what they think, you know, like, you know, what they think I should be doing, and so on and so forth. I take that as truly as a blessing.
A blessing. All right. Not being controlled by the record labels, being your own entity, so to speak. Okay, your own person.
Right.
Okay. What would you like to tell the younger people that are listening to the show tonight? What would you like to tell them? What advice would you like to give? Is there something you would like to leave or say?
Well, the number one thing is, you always, being if you're a young artist, whatever your aspiration is in life, number one thing is, you always got to believe in yourself. Never let anybody cause you to doubt yourself. And even more important than that, you need to understand who you are. Because once you realize who you are, nobody can tell you who you are, because you already know who you are. They just have to come to the understanding of who you are and embrace that. And so always, you know, work hard to be the best that you can possibly be. And never take no for an answer. Take no as motivation to get the answer that you want, which is ultimately yes.
Okay. All right, that's great advice. I took that advice to heart, too.
That's good.
I took that advice to heart, too. Do you have a favorite hobby?
I do. I love riding motorcycles and old school cars and trucks, restoring them. I have a couple right now, you know what I'm saying? I spend a lot of time, not a lot of time, as much time as I have. That's my escape. That's my getaway. So, you know, that's my thing.
Okay.
I have an old soul, so I love old things, you know.
So that means you have a lot of wisdom. That's what my grandmother used to tell me. If you have an old soul, you have a lot of wisdom.
No doubt, because, you know, wisdom comes from older people, and that's where I collected that. You know, I spent a lot of time with my grandfather. My grandfather was always, he was my father, because my father wasn't active in my life like that. So my grandfather, he was, you know, he used to tell me a lot of things. You know, my grandmother as well, you know, she was one of my number one fans, number one, you know, cheerleaders, always, you know, telling me anything that I wanted to do, I could do it, and, you know, I could do it better than most. And, you know, I took that on, and I embraced it, and I believed it, and got me where I'm at.
Where you at today, okay. You have been in entertainment a long time, since you were young. You said four or five or six.
I've been singing
you've been singing that long. What has made you have such a long career, a longevity? What I'm trying to say is some people enter the entertainment industry or business, they fall prey to traps or succumb to other downfalls. What has kept you from falling into this trap? The traps, I call them traps.
Well, I came into the business knowing who Calvin Richardson really was. And that's who I remained to be. And I wasn't easily thrown off track by, you know, what everybody else thought I should be or what I should be doing or what was hot at that particular time. I just stayed true to me and, you know, pretty much just waited for everybody else to, you know, understand, like, who I am. And, like, you know, you got to appreciate me for what I do and what's, you know, just what I'm made of. I think that's what gave me my longevity. Now, I'm not trying to be like anybody else and not trying to follow in the footsteps of others, because if they stumble, and you might fall down. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. If they stumble, you might fall down. Yes. That's right. That's right. I know what you mean. I understand exactly what you mean. You mean make your own way.
Right.
Make your own way. Not be a copy or a follower.
Right. Be authentic.
Believe in yourself.
Right.
Yeah, okay. You usually sing about love. Where did this song Thug Life come from? Where did it come from in you? I mean, did you write, where did it come from?
It came from real life experiences. I used to be out in the streets doing the thing that I was singing about. And I had somebody that was at home waiting on the door knob to turn or whatever for me to come back in off the streets. You know, when you out there in the streets, it ain't always guaranteed that when that door, you know, door knob turned or that knock on the other side of the door is going to be the person that, you know, that's out there in the streets coming back in. It could be somebody coming to tell you that, you know, they was found out in the streets. You understand what I'm saying? So I lived that life for a while, and, you know, I raised above that, and I just stayed true to, like I said, who I really was. I was just doing something, you know, to get by. You know, you can be a victim of your environment if you allow yourself to be, and then you can be the one that, you know, be a champion for everybody else out of that. Just show them that, you know, if you get out, they can get out too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You can also be a testimony. Okay. All right. I just need to know, this is for the listeners. Did you write the lyrics to the album America's Most Wanted? Did you write some of the lyrics to that, the album?
Every word.
Every word you wrote. Oh, you're very talented. But do you play a musical instrument, or do you just sing and write lyrics? Because you have a beautiful voice.
Thank you. I play guitar. So it's, you know, what I write most of my songs with is my guitar, just me and my guitar. Sit down and play it out. You know, just fiddle around till I, you know,
get it out the way that I want it. Then I'll go to the studio, go in my studio. I have a studio in my house. Go back there and just lay it down.
Okay. All right. Where can the listeners find your album? Where can they go to buy your album?
They can go to cdbaby.com. They can go to iTunes, Amazon.com, and they can go to IamCalvinRichardson.com, which is my website. But it's under, I think I got some work being done to it now, but they can still go to it. I don't know if they can order the CD from there as of today at this very moment, but I know that they're putting it back on there so that you can. But all of those other sites, you can just go online and Google Calvin Richardson, and it'll tell you where you can purchase it.
Okay. I look forward to seeing you walk up on that stage and get the Grammy. Get that Grammy, not just be a nominee, because you deserve and to have a Grammy, two or three Grammys, because I just love your voice and I love your music. I wish you all the best and success and blessings that God can give you and the success that life can offer you. And I guess I'll say good night. Well, I guess I'll say goodbye to you, not good night. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Calvin Richardson.
I appreciate you having me. I look forward to seeing you again and speaking with you in person at some point.
Okay, I hope so. I hope so. I really hope so.
Okay. If you ever need me, just holler. Take care.
I will. Thank you. You too. All right, listeners, we've had with us tonight Calvin Richardson, two-time Grammy nominee. His CD is titled America's Most Wanted. We're going to go and listen to some of his music. We're going to listen to You're So Amazing by Calvin Richardson. Come back to Show Talk with Angela Butler.
I done been to the river, swam up the stream, stood on the mountaintop, I swear and lean. Like Martin Luther said, girl, I had a dream, but I'll never stop loving you.
On the second half of Show Talk with Angela Butler, Calvin Evans. Calvin Evans is a promoter. He promotes concerts. The first half of the show, you listen to Calvin Richardson, so let's not get them confused. We have Calvin Evans on the second half, and Calvin Richardson, the singer, on the first half. Calvin Evans is a concert promoter. He has worked with a very impressive list of names. I'm going to name some of them, like Mary J. Blige, the OJs, Charlie Wilson, Lenny Williams, the late, great Barry White, Erykah Badu, Anthony Hamilton, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on and on and on. So tonight we have with us Calvin Evans. How are you doing, Calvin?
I'm doing just fine, Angela. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm glad to have you here tonight, Calvin. Okay, so you told me you had been a concert promoter for many years. How did you first get your start?
Well, I actually been a concert promoter about 15, 16 years. I got started when I was a little boy. I remember my uncle used to manage Frankie Beverly and Maze and Confunction. And he always used to just talk about, hey, you know, will you go put these flyers out for me? So I started putting out flyers at a young age. And I remember my very first concert being New Edition. And I seen what actually went on and decided that that was something I wanted to do later on. Well, of course, once I got older, my first show was actually a college step show. And ever since then, I have been doing concerts, and it has been just something that I've enjoyed doing from here up to now.
Okay, that's wonderful. Okay, you pretty much answered my question. Okay, do you know how many concerts you have promoted?
I've probably done over 100 concerts over these past years. Probably
100 concerts.
Yeah, 100 concerts over these years, definitely. Probably average about 10 a year, so probably about 150 concerts. I haven't even
concerts.
Thought about that to even keep count myself. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome. You're welcome. That's something to think about, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What are the benefits and the downfalls of concert promotion?
Well, I would like to start with the downfalls first. You have certain cities and certain markets where people, you know, they try to bring the concerts there and either they don't have the ticket sales or they don't have the money to pay the artist, and they cancel the show, which is definitely not a reward to somebody who has went out and taken the time to purchase their ticket. You know, I try to tell other promoters, if you do not have the money to pay for the whole show, as if a single ticket would not be sold, maybe you want to evaluate what you're doing or trying to do as being a concert promoter, because that's not the gist of things. You know, we're definitely responsible for taking care of the artists, the building, radio advertisement, and everything. But most importantly, the most important part to me, a person to me, is the consumer, the customer, the person that actually wants to come and see the show. Benefits is being able to have a successful show that sells out, being able to get feedback from people that thoroughly enjoyed themselves, knowing that their money and their time was well spent. So, you know, I always like providing pleasing entertainment for people due to the fact that right now that dollar is hard to come by, and I want everybody to know that when they spend it on the show that we have, that you're definitely going to enjoy every bit of it.
Okay. That's wonderful. That's smart, too. That's smart business, too, I have to say. Do you have a memorable concert that stands out of your mind from the rest? Do you have a concert that's more memorable than any of the rest?
That's quite a – yeah,
something
I can't
that happened?
Say, yeah, one concert, which was my very first sold-out show, and that was in Birmingham back in – oh, man, I want to say maybe 1996, 97, and it was Cedric the Entertainer. And that was our first sold-out concert, and it was such a memorable moment because when you have the signs on the ticket windows and everybody walking up still trying to get tickets and the curtain pulled out on there, you have that sold-out on there, it's just such a wonderful feeling because you brought something that everybody wanted to see. And, you know, it was the very first sellout for me. So that's the most memorable moment out of my promotion career.
The first sellout concert. Okay, that would be memorable. Mm-hmm. I have one of the listeners had in the chat room, in my chat room, have asked me to ask you a question. They said, you have to have a lot of capital to be a concert promoter.
Yes,
a lot of
you
money.
Do. Depending on the scale that you want to be on, you know, some people call themselves promoters, and, You know, it's nothing but they simply pass out flyers for the shows that's coming in. And there's nothing negative against that. However, to actually be a concert promoter to get some of these big names, the average act out there costs between, you know, $40,000 and $60,000. So fact is, you have to be able to pay these people, not dependent on the sales, because fact is, let's take it, we have a hurricane or something like that, and people go through devastation, but still, there's a show that can be done, and you have 20 or 30-day window, you're still responsible for paying those artists. That's why when you see a lot of the time people cancel shows, and it's because the promoter didn't have the money. They didn't see the ends to the mean coming in from tickets being sold. So I would advise anyone who wants to be a promoter, make sure that you have your capital at least $200,000 just to try to get in the game.
All right, listeners, you hear that, those of you who would like to be a concert promoter, you understand what type of money is needed. The gentleman in the chat room, I hope he answered your question to satisfy you. We're going to take a little break here. We got to pay some bills, and we're going to come right back with Calvin Evans, concert promoter from Alabama. I believe that's where you're from, right?
I am.
Okay. All right. Let's listen to Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
All right, the Digital Conglomerate and Exquisite Design is owned by Garland Mac Lafficum. His number is 1206-279-1712. You can also go to their online magazine, Digital Conglomerate Magazine. Again, don't forget to check out Demetri Stewart's magazine, Atlanta Edition. The magazine is currently online. The February edition is out. That's www.atlantaambition.com. And the magazine has the contact information. Also, don't forget, I forgot to say this, also check out Exquisite Design with Garland Mac Lafficum at 1206-279-1712. Also, listeners, do not forget Maurice and Abby Merriweather. Remember to shop with Maurice and Abby. They are more than happy to cater to your weight loss goals. Bestsellers is a great product now. Bestsellers is a great product. And you may reach Maurice and Abby Merriweather at the Bestsellers website or hit them up on Facebook. And don't forget to be on the lookout for the filmmaker Jawanna Ramsey at the film festival. His film Lost It All is a religious film based on the Book of Job from the Bible. Also, there's an inventor that was on this show not too long ago with the invention of More Time to Sleep. Are you looking to get extra sleep at night? The More Time to Sleep system is the answer. It's insulated materials, regulated bottle temperature, and it's moisture resistant. The More Time to Sleep system has a pouch designed to hold any size bottle for any manufacturer. Fits up to 4 bottles. The Veracol lining keeps everything in place. No cords, no batteries, no fuss. The vertical lining combined with the comfort of your pillow with the ease gives you ease. Also, when you buy this product, remember your pediatrician, the manufacturer's warnings and things like that, and go by your pediatrician advice on the milk and everything and how the temperature and all those things like that. Still follow your pediatrician's advice when using this product. Okay, Calvin Evans, we have with us tonight. Calvin Evans is a concert promoter. He's here with Show Talk with Angela Butler. Calvin.
Yes.
Calvin?
Yes.
How did you make your connections? How do you make your connections to get to these famous people? Like, let's say Mary J. Blige, Derek White, Erykah Badu, Anthony Hamilton, just to name a few.
It's through relationships of other people, you know. Been out here in this business for quite some time. So just knowing different people that manage artists, as well as, you know, if they manage one artist, 9 times out of 10, they're managing other artists as well. And just trying to get in with them to try to keep up with the talent that they're managing and just keeping it fresh for real. You know, if there's someone out there I utilize sometimes to try to meet someone else. You know, somebody that I have connection with from old personal relationship and try to get to that next level to try to meet someone else. So it's always new and up and coming artists out here, and it's just a circle that we just kind of travel around as far as trying to be able to book those artists and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. It's hard to believe that you did maybe 150 concerts. Gosh, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot of work, too.
Where did
the idea come from to be a concert promoter?
It just like I was saying, it started off when I was a little boy and seen my uncle doing it. And I seen that, you know, I'm the type of person where I don't get caught up in the fame. I'm more caught up in the business side of it, and I try to make dollars and cents. And, you know, I seen a need out there as far as people being able to get great entertainment. But however, you know, you have to be able to have those resources to bring the people to the people. So that's kind of what got me motivated to get started in this business, and, you know, it's been successful ever since.
My family, I heard you mention that you were from Alabama. My family is originally from Alabama. We now live in Florida, but my mother is originally from Alabama.
Okay.
I have a lot of relatives in Mobile, Alabama, and Pascagoula, Mississippi, too. Hello, everybody. where did the idea come from? I already asked it. Does your job require a lot of traveling?
Yes, it does. You know, of course, we have to get to these venues and events and, you know, try to go out and scope the market and try to make sure that your advertisement and stuff is running, as well as make sure that the accommodations are appropriate for the artist. But, you know, it takes a lot of travel when it comes down to actually doing the event. Like, let's say concert tomorrow night, have a concert in Birmingham with Kim. So fact is, tomorrow, you know, traveling to get there, making sure all the specs and making sure sound and lighting is there, because you want to make sure that quality is there for the people. But however, once that show is over and done, then, hey, it's back to regular things. So, you know, it's not that extensive travel, but just to travel in order to get to the different events, yeah, it is definitely required.
Okay. When is the concert with Kim? Give you a little promotion
Kim,
here. What date?
Kim is going to be tomorrow, Friday, which is February the 10th, at the BJCC Concert Hall in Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay,
along with Kim is going to be Tony Terry and K-Dunn as well on that show.
Okay, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. All right, it sounds like a fabulous concert. Sounds like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I know you're having a concert in Dothan, Alabama, aren't you?
Correct. That's going to be
next
Saturday, February the 18th at the Dothan Civic Center. You know, we started the Blues All Right down in Dothan a couple of years ago. And last year we had Lenny Wiggins, Denise LaSalle, and TK Soul, and it was successful. So we said we were going to come back and try to focus on some of the smaller markets that don't get that entertainment. And when we decided to come back this year, we came back with a bang. Actually going to have Lattimore, Willie Clayton, and Calvin Richardson, who you all heard on the first half of the show. But one thing different about this, I know people have seen Calvin Richardson out there before, but we're going to actually have him with his band there on next Saturday. So this is going to be a great show for people in the Wiregrass and surrounding areas. And I know Calvin have a whole lot of followers that will show up at the Dothan Civic Center as well.
All right. Okay. All right. Now, that's Dothan, Alabama, everyone. That's Dothan, Alabama, so you don't have to call it Dothan, Alabama. At Dothan Civic Center, it's Friday at what time?
It's going to be next Saturday, February the 18th at 8 o'clock
p.m. Okay, all right. That was my error, y'all, but you heard what he said. You have people who work with you? I know you have people who work with you, but is it time-consuming to hire people and everything?
Well, the time-consuming takes, you know, more so out of the role of trying to put the show together. not necessarily hiring people. We have a staff, and everybody has their jobs as far as from booking to making sure sound and light is taken care of, making sure travel accommodations are taken care of for the artists, you know, just dotting the I's and crossing the T's to make a successful show.
So, an estimate, how many people does it take to do one concert? Just the estimate. I mean, how many people does
it take? It depends on how big or how small. How big or how small the show. You depend on a lot of people from the building because the building has this staff that it provides for you. You actually pay for it. But just as far as starting a show, booking it, getting it to the venue, actually promoting it, and actually having the show, your team can be as small as probably two or three people. It just depends on how much work and how much effort you're willing to put into it. But roughly,
okay,
you know, my staff stays around about 10.
Do you normally have security at your concerts?
Security is required in any venue that you go to for your concert. That's part
okay
of the building. They make you pay that. So, you know, they're definitely going to have their place protected, as well as also protection for you as the people.
Okay. All right. Is it tough being an entrepreneur?
It is. But it's tough just going to work every day if you're working for someone. You know, you have to deal with attitudes. You have to deal with unforeseen circumstances. But as an entrepreneur, all of that falls on you. You know, you have to not only be able to recognize the problem, but you also have to come up with the immediate, you know, fixing for the problem as well. You know, even when it comes down to employees, you want to have a comfortable environment that they're able to work in, as well as have that peace of mind in, because fact is, you want the maximum that you can get out of the individuals that work for you.
Okay. All right. All right, listeners, we have with us tonight Calvin Evans, concert promoter. He is holding a concert, I believe he said, tomorrow night, and another one February 18th at 8 p.m. I'll be at that concert, the one February 18th. I got free tickets, so I'm going to be there. Calvin Evans, I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I look forward to having you back, and if you need anything else promoted, just let me know. I've enjoyed talking with you, and I'm sure my listeners have too. So is there anything you would like to add or say, any advice you would like to give to the youth or to entrepreneurs or just everybody in general?
Well, the youth, I love my youth. I actually try to tell youth all the time, there is no shortcut. You know, I know earlier you referenced the Bible, but if you go through the Bible verses and see all of the things that the men of the Bible went through in order to make it to the promised land that God had in store for them, just know that you're going through something, and it takes a whole lot of sacrifice. But if you stay with it and you focus, then the rewards are there at the end, and they're so numerous. Look at all the numerous entrepreneurs that we have out there, such as your Tyler Perry, and then your actors as far as your Denzel Washington and stuff like that. These are people that focus, and they put in the work, because it's never easy to get there. But once you get there, it's so much appreciated when you know what you've been through. So that's advice I'd like to give to everyone else. And closing out on a note, don't forget about February the 18th in Dothan, Alabama, that Blues All Right concert with Willie Clayton, Lattimore, and your man Calvin Richardson. Love to see y'all in Dothan on the 18th at 8 p.m. But thank you so much for inviting me on the show, Angela.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Have a great one.
You too. All right, listeners, we've had with us tonight, listeners, on the first half of the show, we had with us Calvin Richardson. I was playing his song, You're So Amazing. He also has a CD out called America's Most Wanted. I encourage people to go out and buy that CD and also to attend the concert in Dothan, Alabama, February 18th at 8 p.m. at the Dothan Civic Center. We're going to play some more music, and we're going to come back and end the show.
I done been to the river, swam up the stream, stood on the mountaintop, I swear and lean. Like Martin Luther said, girl, I had a dream, but I'll never stop loving you. Girl. Boy, stop loving you. Today, girl, in the pit of dark, I can still see the grace of your world. That beautiful smile when you come to me. Your love and you are strong. I don't want to let anymore. I'd rather be gone. You see, I will be the evidence that's strong. Please listen to the words of my song. Top, I swear and lean, like Martin Luther said, girl, I had a dream, but I never stopped loving you.
Listeners, that was Mr. Calvin Richardson's with You're So Amazing. Don't forget to buy the album, America's Most Wanted by Calvin Richardson. You've been with Show Talk with Angela Butler tonight. I've enjoyed the show, and I hope somebody has learned something and been entertained, informed, and enlightened. So come back Saturday to Show Talk with Angela Butler at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Everyone have a good night. And don't forget, this is Black History Month. Don't forget that Black History Month should be celebrated all year long, not just for one month or one day out of the year, but Black History should be celebrated all year long. And that's all I have to say. Good night.